Well, good morning. It is so very wonderful to be back among the living. Praise the Lord. I feel great. Thank you for all your prayers. I tell you, it's just an exciting day for me, that's for sure. So welcome to our worship service here. I missed the first two Sundays of Advent, which was very difficult for me to do. But we're back on track. So a few announcements here. Thank you for all that have given poinsettias in memory of loved ones. They're so beautiful. There's a fresh flower arrangement right down there on that electric piano that was given by the family of Dolores Bender. Her funeral was yesterday. So prayers for certainly her family during this time. We do have communion today. Maybe you see the tables. It will be as we've done this most of this year. When that time comes, you'll be ushered forward. There first are little cups of bread. You'll take that. They're plastic. Then there are cups of wine and juice. The innermost ring of each tray is the juice. The rest contains the wine, which are also plastic cups. So as you come, you'll take the bread, you'll take the wine, and then there'll be a trash can on each end. That's how we'll have communion when that time comes. There is a special offering plate in the back in addition to our regular offering box, but the offering plate is if you want to help with the sacks, the Christmas Eve sacks that are given out on that night. And we plan to go ahead with that service. We realize there are ones who are not comfortable being here that night, which we totally understand. But as we taught, you know, we're having football. We had all that snorting all over everybody, and volleyball and basketball and wrestling and all of it. So masks are certainly welcome if you desire, but we at this point plan to go forward with Christmas Eve. So just so you know that, you see the offering for Christmas Eve, for Christmas Day, that's in the bulletin. I'll let you read that. Also, I wanted to say thanks to Ken Winterstein and the consistory here for filling in the last two Sundays. Appreciate it very much. It was fun to be able to watch after the fact. Next Sunday, program practice is at 9 o'clock in the morning. That's for eighth graders on down. So we'll be done with practice before church, all right? And lastly, I want to mention the soup kitchen, the women of the church, which we did not do soup kitchen this year. The women do a lot of mission work with those donations. So if you haven't given anything to the women and would like to, their request is that that could be done by next Sunday. If you think about it, there is a box, a little box out on the information cabinet in the narthex that says Women of the Church on it. You can just put it in there or however you desire to do that. So please read the rest of the announcements as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, it is with such great joy to be here today, Lord, in this sanctuary gathered with your people, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you with all of our hearts during this season of Advent, a time and a season of great joy and hope and peace and expectation. In the midst of challenging times for many, yet we fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, our Lord, our God, our King. And so thank you, Father, for this wonderful privilege to be able to gather here in person. We ask and we know already, Lord, that your presence is here with us. Fill this place with your glory and your goodness as we focus our hearts upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll have our three eighth grade boys do the Advent reading this morning. So thank you, guys.
Today is the third Sunday of Advent. God's desire to be with us is so great, and his love for us is so amazing that he chose to send his only begotten Son into this world. His name is Jesus.
Our scripture reading today will be from the prophet Isaiah chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel."
As we light the third Advent candle, we are reminded of the promises of God's word found in Matthew 28:20, when Jesus said, "And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." And again in Hebrews 13:5, when God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you," we will thank God for his word, which is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great desire to be with us even when we were still lost in sin. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, to be with us through the storms of life and the temptations of life. Thank you for also being with us during the wonderful joys that life can bring. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, guys. Our opening hymn is beautiful. O come, all ye faithful. Let's stand together as we sing this, please. Of joy, tears of joy. You can just give each other an air five, high five or something before you're seated, please. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here, and I have some things written down, which this is in the bulletin, but just want to make mention of it again, that this Thursday, God willing, will be Eugene Weidenbach's 100th anniversary. So if you haven't sent a card, here I go on that. Thank you. 100th birthday. And Eugene is one of our World War II veterans. They listen to the service every week, so I really think we should sing happy birthday to him today. All right? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Eugene. Happy birthday to you. God bless you, Eugene and Lorraine. We love you dearly. I know they long to be here as well. Other things I want to mention, that I said prayers for Dolores Bender's family. Her service was yesterday. Also for Dale Kessler Jr. here and Jennifer and their families. His mother Maggie passed away. It was the end of November there. And we had her service on Friday. She was 66. So prayers for them. Also Joy and Mark Haas. Prayers for their family. Joy's older brother, he was 60. He passed away early this week also. Other things I have, are you going to share about the little boy? Is that what you, okay. For Diane Calden's little grandson, Braden, I got his first name, it's Braden. They found a brain tumor. He had surgery Thursday or Friday. And that went well. It was benign, so we praise the Lord for that. In the process of that surgery, they found another tumor the size of a grape, which not quite clear if that surgery was happening today or tomorrow. I'm guessing tomorrow. But so Diane is up there helping to take care of Braden's two brothers. So prayers for them during this time. Okay? I know Harriet had a joy she wanted to share, so I have this microphone, Scott. Okay, should be good to go.
Oh boy, what a church full. I wish I could send a picture of this church full to my friends in Brazil. I'm calling to tell you that we do not realize how far our church services go. But my friend in Brazil, Pastor Alex Zeman, he listens to our service on the computer. He's done that for many months now. And I'm so proud of him. And not just that, but he's trying to learn English and hearing Pastor talk. Since he's a pastor, he's learning many of the English words for different things that he would be learning in Portuguese. Portuguese is the native language of Brazil, but Pastor Alex wants to learn English, and he's learning a lot from Pastor. Not just that, but the family, when our ancestors came over to the U.S., many of the Germans went to southern Brazil, and now today in southern Brazil, there is Germans worship service. All the language down in southern Brazil is German, and it's our kind of German, the Schwäbisch German. So when I was down there, I had a great time speaking to everybody in Schwäbisch German. And so as I'm thanking you for having the service all the time on tape like he is learning so much, and I'm so glad. And he was serving a big church in southern Brazil. And he said, they're so complacent, they don't care. He wants to go where the sick people are, inner life. So he's down in Fortaleza ministering to the homeless and a missionary. He's great at that. So I want to thank you for what you're doing to help him learn the gospel and enjoy. I can't believe it that he found Menlo, South Dakota, Salem Church on his computer. So I want to thank you for it and say, Pastor, can I wish him a Merry Christmas?
Yes, you can.
Okay, Merry Christmas, Pastor Alex and the family, Christy and Adriana and little Eric, my birthday boy. Merry Christmas, Fröhliche Weihnacht, and Gottes Segen.
Thank you, Harriet. God bless you. And Pastor Alex, we will be praying for you and your family and ministry in Brazil. Anything else, joys or concerns over here on this side? Cindy? Oh. Joanna Fergan has a birthday this Wednesday. Happy birthday to Joanna back there. Okay, did I see some? Let's see, Lane Schmidt. Was whose? Last Tuesday was Barry Schmidt's birthday. Happy birthday to you, sir. Jolene Heckenleibel. Okay. Say his first or her. Lance Pankratz was in a very bad accident this last Monday, and he's in intensive care in Sioux Falls. Okay, sorry to hear that. All right, Lance Pankratz, we will pray for him. Micah, say again. Jesse Gehring's birthday is on the 19th. Happy birthday to you, Saturday coming up. Okay, yeah, Cheryl. Yes, that's right. On Veterans Day this year, Cheryl Dubbs' son, Aaron, had an article on him on the front page of the Mitchell Daily Republic. He commands a Navy ship. So, yes, God bless you and him also. Tell him thank you for his service. Somebody else? Oh, Patsy? Okay, praying for Patsy's daughter as a friend, Charlie, who's in his 50s, had an open heart surgery recently and has had a major setback due to an infection entering in. So we pray for Charlie. Okay, Donna. Okay, Addison Friesen's going to be 14 on Tuesday and getting her driver's license that morning.
Watch out.
Is that a concern? No. That's good. Yes, Zoe. 16th, Ron and Marina Schaefer's 16th anniversary on Friday. Happy anniversary. Okay, wonderful. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, there's much to lift before your throne. We come and we pray for Lance Pankratz. Lord, after suffering a very bad automobile accident, we don't know the details, but you do. And we pray for him as he's there in ICU in Sioux Falls. Give the doctors wisdom, the nurses, all that are working with him, Father. And above all, we always ask for your healing power and touch through his being. We pray for Charlie, Patsy's daughter's friend Charlie in Minneapolis, suffering a major setback after open heart surgery. Lord, we pray over him, asking for your healing touch to flow through his being, driving that infection from his body. Lord, there's many to pray for. We continue to pray for Fred and Terry Seiler as Terry goes through chemo, and Jimmy Whale and Christina and Terry Auk and many others listed in our bulletin. Lord, thank you. It's a joy to see Bill and Judy back with us in church today as Bill goes with the dialysis treatments, and we thank you that that's able to happen and that you help his body to adjust to that and renew his strength, Lord, day by day. Father, for all those that are struggling with the virus, we pray over them, some in very, very difficult situations in intensive care and on ventilators, and others struggling at home. Lord, we thank you for healing from this virus in Jesus' name. We pray that the vaccine can go forth safely. We lift that up to you as well. Father, we pray for those that have lost loved ones here recently. Thank you for comforting these families, for you are the God of all comfort. We pray for Eugene and Lorene Weidenbach as he, according to your will celebrate his 100th birthday this Thursday. Thank you for blessing them, Lord. They have a wonderful family and deep faith, and we just thank you for watching over them. We want to pray for little Braden, Diane Calden's 4-year-old grandson. Thank you that first tumor was benign. We pray, Lord, as they go to do surgery on the second one, that you guide them through that as well. Lord, we pray for Harriet's friends down in Brazil, this Pastor Alex, and as he ministers to those people in his nation, thank you for anointing him and helping him to learn English as he desires. We ask your blessing upon them. Lord, we certainly have to say thank you for the amazing weather you have given us through November, halfway into December. We are grateful for it, and we thank you for all that it helps things to be done, outside projects, and not traveling through difficult conditions. As we pray for our nation, we do pray for our healthcare workers that serve in the care centers, the clinics, the hospitals, the intensive care units, on and on, Lord. They're out there in difficult situations, and we ask that you give them strength and keep them healthy as they serve those who struggle, Lord. Thank you for this nation, for pouring out your Spirit upon us, bringing revival to this land. Jesus, you are our only hope, and we know that, and you are the hope of the nations, and we praise you by faith for what you are doing in our midst. Thank you for watching over our troops that serve here at home, those that serve abroad, several of our guardsmen and women over in Africa, probably through Christmas. Lord, just be with them, especially the ones that can't be with their families. Keep them safe. We thank you for all these things, Lord, birthdays that were mentioned, and anything I may have missed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You're all a lot more quiet on those things when I'm not here, I'll tell you that. There weren't too many joys or concerns. No. It's wonderful to have that time. I want to read from Isaiah 7:14. It was read here, but it is such an important verse. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. So it is. Let's stand as we sing the doxology, please.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, our
Father, we do have so many things to praise you for. 10,000 reasons and then beyond and even forevermore as we sing that song. And so as we bring our offerings and our tithes, as we place them in the offering box, Lord, we help us to always realize we're not just dropping money in a box. It's far more than that, and we're sowing into your kingdom, the kingdom of God, so the gospel can be proclaimed, not just here in our region, but beyond, even in Brazil, and who knows where. You know, Lord Jesus, and we proclaim you, Jesus, as who you say you are, the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through you. And so we have come. And we rejoice in you and your blessings in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated, and the children can come forward, please, for the kids' time.
Come on up. Hi. Okay, hurry up. Come on up.
It's good to see you guys this morning.
Hi.
Welcome to our church. Okay. Come on up. So, are you enjoying Christmas practice, program practice? Well, we're excited about that. I think Pastor Mike and I are going to hang around later and watch. That way we can see it twice. Okay, just find a seat right over here is good. Anywhere you want to. Over this side? You can watch it online 300 times? Sweet, you can. All right. 300 times, that'd almost be every day of the year, right? Well, remember, we are talking about, is it time yet? Is it time yet for Christmas Day? Not yet, but we are getting close, aren't we? And the first week we learned that in the right time, who sent his son? God sent his son, and who was his son? Jesus, at just the right time. And last week we learned that God told a person, and his name was Abraham, remember? He told Abraham, come away from all the sinful people that you're around and choose me and love me and I am going to bless you, right? And he told him, I'm going to give you and your wife a son, and through that lineage, one day will come who? Jesus will. He will come, right, and teach us about God and ultimately die on the cross for us, right? And that's what we're gonna be celebrating today, too, at communion. You don't get to do it yet, but your parents and older brothers and sisters will. But this is ultimately why God sent Jesus, to be our Savior, right? Okay, so we can look in the Bible and find out all kinds of information about God sending Jesus. And you know what? Before he sent him, we can look back in the Old Testament and look at some of the prophets. And prophets were people that God sent and told them what to tell the people. Like if they were sinning too much, he would tell them, you need to repent, turn back to God. But not only that, he told them about the coming Savior. It's okay, you can probably just let go of him, he'll be fine. It's all right. And he told us some names that Jesus would have, our Savior. Like, who named you all? Your mom and dad, right? And sometimes we name our kids because we like the name that we give you, and other times we name our kids because of the meaning. And that is what people in the Bible did. They named their children because of what the name meant. And so right here, so when I say three, I want you to tell me all your names so that everybody here can know your name, okay? Ready? One, two, three. Did y'all get that? No, I thought you did. Yeah, all your names mean something, and they're very special. And God sent Isaiah to tell us about what Jesus' name would be. And we read some of these in, like, Isaiah 7:14. Listen to this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel. Do you know what that name means? God is with us. Yeah, so isn't that cool? And then in another time in Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah told this, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be, you say it after me, Wonderful Counselor. You guys are, come on, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is all what Jesus' name means, all of these wonderful things. And not only that, he also told us in Isaiah 53:5 what's going to happen to Jesus, that he is going to die for us, for our sins, so that we could be in heaven with him one day. And this is what it says. Listen, this is our last one. But he was pierced for our transgressions. Jesus was pierced for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. Jesus died because of the sins of his people, and Jesus paid the price for us. And that's what we're going to witness today, right? So there's so many things that Christmas teaches us. And today, it's that Jesus is going to be born and all that his name meant. Okay? All right, some of the things you can talk about when you eat lunch today. All right, let's pray. Okay, everybody fold their hands, close your eyes. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you that you sent us Jesus to die for our sins. Because you loved us so much. Help us to remember that during this season. Bless these boys and girls. Let them have a wonderful practice just remembering all who you are and what you've done for us. Help these boys and girls be a light wherever they go this week and to tell others about Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get your papers. I hope there's a mess.
Thank you, Anne. It's wonderful to see all the boys and girls up here. We'll be in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 here in just a moment, as soon as the kids get back to their seats. I wanted to say thanks to Jared and Devin Bush, too. They were here and spoke a little bit that first Sunday when I was gone, and they're waiting to go to Malaysia as missionaries. They're waiting for the country to open up, and they both are medical. Their field is in medical. Sorry. So we pray in God's time that will happen. We know it will. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Lord God, thank you for your word. It is incredible how your word is knit so tightly together from Genesis to Revelation. And everything lines up absolutely perfectly because your word is the inerrant, infallible word, inspired word of God, the very living word of God. And we are blessed incredibly to live in a day where we have it available to us in so many ways. Forgive us, Lord, for so many times we just take that for granted. When people gave their lives, when people were burnt at the stake for even translating your word into different languages. So we set our hearts and minds upon your word this morning. Thank you for speaking to us by your Spirit. And I ask, Father, for you to speak through me to those gathered here this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, you should know these verses well. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. This goes back to Isaiah. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. I'm only going to focus on a couple verses out of this passage today, which is in verse 22 and 23 there. Where it says, again, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And again, that was the prophet Isaiah. We're talking 650 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem. I try. We just had a lesson on that with the confirmation kids on Wednesday. You try to wrap your mind around that 650 years before it ever happened. God spoke it and said it would happen. The virgin, and this is what the prophet Isaiah prophesied. The virgin, whoever heard of this happening then or even now? Nobody. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. So what God was declaring here, when this, that he was going to come and be with his people in a way that was altogether new. And they, even from that point, like I said, Isaiah had to wait 650 years for it to happen. God was going to come, be born into a physical flesh and blood body to be with them, with his people. At that time, they could touch him. They could hold him. Oh, they dreamt of that as they waited for it. See, they had the first promise of a Messiah was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So from Genesis to Jesus being born in Bethlehem, they had waited 4,000 years. We have only waited approximately 2,000 years for Jesus to return. We know it could be any time, any moment. 4,000 years they waited. God promised he was coming. He promised them a redeemer, a deliverer. Sometimes in the Old Testament, he would show up, Jesus, as the angel of the Lord. We call these appearances Christophanies, which means when Jesus would appear, he would appear as a man, but he was not in a physical flesh and blood body that they could touch. One of the first times was when God came. It was time to deal with judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was living on the planet. And here came these three men approaching Abraham's tent. Remember? And one of those, two angels, and one of them was Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. Next was when it was time for Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, an incredible feat against walled cities, Jericho being the first. And there it is the night or two before, and here Joshua is, and all of a sudden Jesus appears right there. And Joshua says, "Are you for us or against us?" And Jesus answered, "Neither. But as captain of the army of the Lord of hosts, I have now come." I love that. That's the God of angel armies is based on that account right there. And then Jesus said, "Take off your shoes, your sandals, because the place where you are standing is holy ground." And he fell to his knees. Joshua did. That was Jesus. Then we come to the three Hebrew children thrown in the fiery furnace. And yet the king looks in and says, "We put three in there. How's there four men walking around in that fire?" And the fourth one has the appearance as the Son of Man. It was Jesus in the fire with them. And there's others, appearances like that. As a man, but not in a flesh and blood body. Again, we call those Christophanies. So God says in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, the virgin is going to give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. We know that. It does not mean God mad at us. He didn't say he's going to come because he's mad at you. No, he's going to come because he wants to be with you, and he wants to do something about our sinful, lost condition. God with us. The last two Sundays, especially last Sunday, was the most difficult day for me to be feeling better and sitting over in that parsonage and not being able to be with you, because there is nothing I enjoy more than being with the congregation for times of worship. That first Sunday, the 29th of November, I was about dead to the world, I guess, is the way to describe it. I couldn't even get out of bed to look out the window to see how many cars were in the parking lot. That's how wiped out I was for that Sunday and the next 4 days. Just, Ann said, I've never seen you like this in all of our married years. I said, I don't know if I've ever felt like this in all of our married years. Oh, but last Sunday, yes, as Ann told you about the dilemma of getting the Christmas tree out of the basement, you must think, wow, what a weakling. Hey, I'm telling you, when you're in bed for about a week and eating nothing, do I look a little more slender? I lost about 12, 13 pounds, although they're working their way back on already. I got it. Got to watch that. It was, but Sunday, yes, I do have to confess, as I was watching a church service, I did put up the Christmas tree on Sunday morning. So, sorry, she was quite pleased when she got home. No, I just want to be with you. As people, we do. We want to be with each other. Probably 2 months ago when I went over to Freeman to the nursing home to visit Betty Bender, one of our members there. Many of you know her. And they have a room set up over there that I was impressed. I told Julie I was impressed. Had to cost plenty, but so I could come in from the outside, go into this room. There's this glass, big glass window. They bring Betty so she's never in contact with anybody through the hall into this other room on that side of it. And there's a microphone on each side that we could, it was wonderful. But the deal, when it was time to leave, she comes up to the glass and I'm standing on this side and she says, I just want to touch you. I just want to hug you, Pastor Mike. I said, I know, Betty, I want to hug you too. She put her hands on the glass. Just touch my hands on the glass. And so, you know, although it's still not the same, is it? It's not the same. God created us to be with each other, to touch us. He became like us in every way except what? Without sin. Yeah, the scripture tells us that. So then we think, there's these beautiful verses in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, inspired, written by the Apostle John. You think about John, as he walked with Jesus those 3.5 years, all the miracles he got to see. He sat at the table the night before the cross when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Matter of fact, he was probably the closest to Jesus that night. He, in the Gospel of John, in 1 John, those epistles, often when he refers to as the disciple that Jesus loved, he's talking about himself. Yeah, he's talking about himself there. And he was very close to Jesus. He was there at the cross when all the others fled. John was with him. Remember, and Jesus gave him responsibility for his mother, Mary, gave that to John to care for her. But look what he says here. 1 John 1, 1 and 2. I love this. That which was from the beginning, not the beginning of time as we know it, but from eternity past, he's saying, he's talking about Jesus now, which we have heard, there's your first blank if you're feeling them, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life, Jesus. The life appeared, and we have seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. God with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Our senses, the five that God gave us, are incredible. I did not lose my smell. I did not lose my taste. My taste was a little off for a while, but I didn't lose it. Now, Ann lost both that, and I know some others. I was talking to one of our high schoolers yesterday who lost both, and he said to me, it was so good. He said, you know, Pastor Mike, isn't it something we just take our senses all for granted until we don't have them? Yeah. Your smell, your taste. I know the one day Ann pulls an onion out of the fridge, cuts it in half, and says, look, I can't even smell this onion. I said, I don't cook with that onion. That's gross. She said, I only breathed in. I didn't breathe out on it. I said, ugh. Our senses. Jesus, who we can smell. Who they literally could see and touch and hear, yes, smell, all of that. See, I pray that as we go through this Advent season, and we're already in the third Sunday now, and I missed the first two, but that we can have a deeper awareness of His presence with us. Let that be our prayer. When John the Baptist was born, so we're coming to the end of Luke chapter 1, it was right after it, and the Holy Spirit, remember, Zechariah was not able to speak through that entire pregnancy. Remember that? The father of John the Baptist could not speak until he wrote on that board, his name is John. And his mouth was loosed, and he began to prophesy. And one of the things he said, the end of the Gospel of Luke, is this. By the Spirit of God, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come. He has come, and He has redeemed His people. New Living says, because He has visited His people. So what an exciting time. And I said, yeah, today we're waiting for that second coming. We're waiting to see the resurrected, glorified, risen Christ. In Revelation 1, there's such a beautiful picture of the resurrected Christ, that vision that John the Apostle has. And he describes Him in such detail. His face was like the sun shining in all of its strength. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Don't you just long to hear His voice when we get to see Him face to face, and He just describes Him in detail? We are waiting. Like they waited the first 4,000 years, we are waiting now to see Him literally face to face. Those that have gone on to heaven, they're seeing Him. That should be number one desire when we get to heaven. Yes, the loved ones, the spouses, however, yes. But number one should be Jesus. I read an obituary recently, though, in the paper, and I sort of get it, but this lady had a lot of accomplishments in her life. And the very end of it said something like, and when the pearly gates are opened for so-and-so, and the curtain of heaven rises, there will be, da-da-da, her name, handing out roses to all. And I just thought, and I'm sure she didn't write it, but I thought, when the pearly gates open and the curtain of heaven rises, it is not going to be about any one of us at all or what we have done. It is going to be entirely about Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we will fall before Him. So anyway, I'm sure a wonderful, wonderful dear lady who did a lot in this life. Just, okay, so real quick, there's many scriptures in the Old Testament where God declared to His people, I'm with you. Isaiah 41:10, listen, fear not, For I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How about Joshua 1:5? Again, Moses had died. Joshua's taking over. God speaking to Joshua, he said, no one will be able to stand up against you, Joshua, all the days of your life. Listen, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The joy that we have after the cross, this is a blank here for you too, after the cross, we have the additional blessing of not just God with us, but Christ in us. Do you know that? Christ in us by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's many verses. On the night before the cross there, John 14, Jesus is telling them, look, I'm going to the Father, but I'm going to give you another helper, the Holy Spirit of God. And he's talking about him, and he says to them, you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. What do you think is better? With you, in you. In you is better. 100 times better. Colossians 1:27, it speaks about this mystery that he was going to make known to the Gentiles. That's us, which is what? Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ, yet it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Corinthians, we could go on with those verses. So you know what? Yes, he is with us always. Greater than that, he is in us. Just I'll mention these real quick there. I don't have a whole sermon on those three, in case you're wondering. Guys were teasing me last night. You're going to give us a whole hour sermon, Pastor Mike? I said, I sure could. I haven't preached for 2 weeks. I sure could. No, in the storms of life, he's with you. He is in you. When the account there in Mark was when they were in the boat with Jesus, the 12, the storm comes up, he's sleeping, remember? They thought they were going to drown. Jesus, wake up, don't you care? We're going to perish. Oh, you have little faith. Peace be still. And it was. But he was with them in the storm, however long it lasted before they woke him, right? We just think when we're in the storm, come on, Jesus, answer me. When I was in the storm, if you call it that, of those 4 days, there were a couple days there, I'm like, Lord, if you want to take me home to heaven, that's fine with me. This is not fun. I know, what a wimp, right? Oh, it wasn't my time. In the temptations of life, he is with you and he is in you. This is the night before the cross. Jesus had told Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times before that rooster crows in the morning. I will never do it, Jesus, never. Sure enough, he did it. And Jesus was there, just very close proximity when he denied them the 3rd time that rooster crows. Matthew's gospel said, that records Peter looked at Jesus and he went out and wept bitterly. He felt he had failed him, was useless to him, but he wasn't. God forgave and restored him. 3rd, of course, in the joys of life. That part's easy, isn't it? We know. And I'm not going into that scripture. Emmanuel, God with us. What a blessing to know and understand. Now, Jesus has come to be our Lord and our Savior. Christmas season, Advent, should be a time, and really is, for the nation, where hearts are definitely more focused on the message of Christ than any other time of the year. It's very hard to avoid. I heard this, what's the guy's name you're watching in Sunday school? Strobel? Lee Strobel, yeah, talked about when he was an atheist. And he said, and yet, you know what? As an atheist, Christmas was my favorite season of the year. I just ignored all that. But I loved the lights, the gifts, the excitement of it. But eventually God broke through into his life. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we have got to know, number one, that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. Not just know about Him, but know Him. To know Him intimately, like you know your husband or your wife or your children. You know Him. And you give your life to Him. So when we come, as you walk down this aisle today, just focus on Him. Let your prayer be, Father, thank you for Jesus, Emmanuel, who came to be with us, who took our sin upon Himself so we could have eternal life and live with Him each and every day. There'll be a prayer of confession coming. If Caleb, if you could get that on the screen, please. We are told in Scripture that before we come to the Lord's table, we are to examine ourselves. That means, number one, do I know Christ as Lord and Savior? Number two, do I have sin that I need to confess to Him? We all do. If something comes to mind, you do that. Just under your breath, tell the Lord, this is what I've done. I need your forgiveness. It's part of how we examine ourselves in this prayer as well. So please join me in this prayer. Heavenly Father, as I come before your throne today, I recite Mary's words of praise to you, saying, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to be my Lord and Savior. I confess my sin to you, Lord, knowing that without you, I am lost and without hope in this world. I do believe in my heart that you, Jesus, went to the cross to take my sin upon yourself. Thank you for taking my place. By faith, I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, making me a new creation. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for not treating me as my sins deserve, nor repaying me according to my iniquities. Instead, you have forgiven me of my sins, and you have cleansed me from all unrighteousness. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If the consistory wants to come forward, please. Now, if there's any in here, the consistory can come, yeah, when you're ready. If there's any in here that are not able or comfortable with walking forward, if you just stay where you're at and get the attention of one of the guys, they can bring the elements to you. As far as families, again, we have open communion here. If you're visiting, you're welcome to take with us. For the children, we encourage them to wait until they have been confirmed. But if you want to walk down as a family with your kids, you are welcome to do that. So again, with the communion trays, the grape juice is the innermost ring. The wine are the other rings. And of course, you'll take the bread and the wine. And they'll get the tables moved out here in just a moment. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, thank you. You get that waste basket out there, the trash can. Thanks. Now the cups that are on the tray by themselves, are those all wine? Just
wine.
Okay.
That is grape juice.
Okay.
On the
tray by itself.
We made some extras.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay. On the trays by, there's some extras on trays by itself. All on this tray by itself is wine. On this tray by itself is grape juice. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a sacred time this is. What a joyful time it is. As we're in the Advent season, and Lord, we think of you being born into that body and all that would lie ahead for you. Oh, from your birth to the cross and everything in between, we celebrate you, Jesus. Thank you for instituting this sacrament, the bread that represents your body so bruised and beaten beyond, Lord, the word says your visage, your appearance was marred beyond that of any human being. And this wine and this juice representing the blood that you shed for us upon that cross, let these elements be sanctified for this time and this purpose, we pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, you know every need here this morning, and there are many. I thank you for your healing touch, spirit, soul, and body, as the congregation walks forward. In Jesus' name. And so the Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take and eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Thank you. So the congregation will be ushered forward. Who's going to do that? Okay. And well, if you desire to sing along, we'll sing Emmanuel, and then we'll go into O Come Emmanuel. You can go ahead, Ben.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Take. Was there anyone that did not get served that would like to be? One in back. Okay, thank you. We'll come, they'll come back to you. As they go and finish, we'll stand here with our closing hymn, number 271. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, adore you. So you know the melody of this. They've just changed the words for this Advent season. So let's stand, please. Thank you, Consistory, for helping. Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God of glory, Lord of light. Beautiful words. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. And may He go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you His peace. Amen. Let me have a prayer, please, for the meal for the children before their practice. Father, thank you for this glorious day together in your presence. And now we ask, Lord, for the children and youth and all the teachers and helpers, bless the meal that they are going to receive to the nourishment and strength of their bodies. Thank you for the ladies that work so hard to prepare this, for all that give various parts of the meal. And bless their program practice, Lord, as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.